Me? I'm with myself.
No, who are you with? What band?
Oh, I'm here to interview Black Sabbath. I'm a journalist. I'm not... not a... you know.
You're not a what? You're not a what?
Not a... groupie.
Oh, groupie?
We are not groupies.
This is Penny Lane, man. Show some respect.
Groupies sleep with rock stars because they want to be near someone famous. We're here because of the music. We are Band-Aids.
She used to run a school for Band-Aids.
We don't have intercourse with these guys. We inspire the music. We're here because of the music.
You know, she was the one who changed everything. She was the one who said, no more sex. No more exploiting our bodies and our hearts.
Right, right.
Just blowjobs and that's it.
That's it. Go ahead.
They're really rocking in Boston, Pittsburgh, PA, deep in the heart of Texas, and around the Frisco Bay, all over St. Louis, way down in New Orleans. All the cats will be dancing, sweet little 16, sweet little 16. She just got to have about a half a million famed autographs. Her wallet filled with pictures. She gets them one by one. She gets so excited. I watch her look at her run, boy. Oh, mommy, mommy, please may I go? It's such a sight to see. Somebody steal the show. Oh, daddy, daddy, I beg of you. Whisper to mommy, it's all right with you. Cause they'll be rocking on Bandstand, Philadelphia, PA. Deep in the heart of Texas, and down the Frisco Bay. All over St. Louis, way down in New Orleans. Rocking on Bandstand, Pittsburgh, PA, deep in the heart of Texas, and around the Frisco Bay, all over St. Louis, way down in New Orleans, everybody be dancing, sweet little 16, sweet little 16, she just got to have a tight dresses and lipstick. High heel shoes. Oh, but tomorrow morning she'll have to change her trim. She'll be sweet 16 and back in class again. But they'll be rocking in Boston and Pittsburgh, PA, deep in the heart of Texas, around the Frisco Bay, all over St. Louis, way down in New Orleans.
Let the ugliness reign. I'm gonna tell it to the north, gonna tell it to the south, gonna tell it to the east, and gonna tell it to the west. Now there's only one. Mad. Mark After Dark. The man that hates everything except the real thing. Coming to you once again, right here and right now. So you better listen, because I always tell it like it is, always have, and always will. And tonight is certainly no different than any other night. Have any of you out there ever seen the movie Almost Famous? It's one of my favorite movies of all times, I gotta say. And let me give you some background on how I discovered that movie. I was dating a girl back then. and we had a date that night, and she picked out some crap-ass movie that we went to see. You know, one of the joys of going to the movies is sitting there, getting there early, sitting there and watching all the movie trailers. And you get kind of excited. You go, okay, well, that one's a good movie. Okay, I don't want to see that one. That one looks terrible. The trailer for Almost Famous came up. And I got really excited. I got to see that trailer. I was like, damn, I got to see that movie. That movie is way up my alley. Anything related to music in the 70s is something I got to see. So on September 13th, 2000 is when Almost Famous was released. Now, it's a semi-autobiographical film about writer-director Cameron Crowe as a teenage writer for Rolling Stone magazine in the early 1970s. Now, it's very, and I mean very loosely based on his own personal experiences touring with rock bands during the height of the best time in music, 70s rock. I mean, I've seen pictures of Cameron with Robert Plant, and I know he went on tour with Leonard Skinner, and I know he's done a lot of reviews. I mean, he was a major critic in that magazine. I used to read his stuff. I was a big fan of his articles. So when that came out, it featured Philip Seymour Hoffman, the late, great Philip Seymour Hoffman, as Lester Bangs, one of the greatest rock critics of all times. And he did an excellent job on that, but that's a great actor. And it featured Cameron as this writer named William Miller, which was portrayed by this actor, Patrick Fugit, who did an excellent job. And it was Kate Hudson's breakout role. And her role was inspired by two infamous girls named Laurie Maddox and Sable Starr. Have any of you out there ever heard the term baby groupies? Well, that label was coined for horny underage girls ranging in ages between 12 to 15 years old. You know, I'll tell you all something. I mean, I'm a horny guy. I admit it. I like being with women and girls, and I love girls, but it's pretty sick to think of young girls at 12 and 13 years old that way. Being an adult male, I mean, you go to prison these days for stuff like that. But during that time period, they were heavily involved with the upcoming artist on the LA music scene. So moving into the topic tonight, in the 1950s, Chuck Berry was a very high-profile, well-established star with several hit records, film appearances, and a very lucrative touring career. He also opened up a racially integrated St. Louis nightclub. But in 1958, One Dozen Berries was the second studio album released on Chess Records, and Sweet Little 16 was a song written and first recorded in January of 1958, first on an A-side with Reelin' and Rockin' as the B-side. Very influential artist, influenced rock and roll. In my opinion, Chuck Berry is the true king of rock and roll. Every band that I've ever loved in my entire life was influenced by Chuck Berry. The Rolling Stones, AC/DC, and the list goes on. Now, that song reached number 2 on the Billboard Hot 100 charts. It was Berry's second highest position ever on that chart. In December of 1959, and this is popular, he was arrested under the Mann Act after allegations that he had sexual intercourse with a 14-year-old waitress whom he had transported across state lines. The thing about back then, in the 50s, a lot of those artists had women that followed them on tour. There was no name for it back then, just women that idolized, you know, these artists. I mean, Elvis Presley had tons of women that loved him and followed him and they adored him, and he probably did stuff to all those women. Being a young, attractive male back then, and wow, look at all these women. And I know Johnny Cash had his fair share of women that followed him. And, you know, Jerry Lee Lewis married his 13-year-old cousin. So needless to say, this song was a great opener for tonight's episode. But it's also important to note that Surfin' USA was a song with lyrics by Brian Wilson set to the music of Sweet Little 16, written by Chuck Berry. And that song was first recorded by the Beach Boys and released as a single on March 4th, 1963, then appeared as the title track of their album of the same title. Now, that single peaked at number 3 on the Billboard charts as well. So moving on into the topic tonight, groupies don't show up as no more than a footnote in music history, but they are the ones that hung out backstage with the bands and were often treated as short-term lovers. But surprisingly, some of them were a lot more than just a one-night stand. In the 1960s and 1970s, these groupies got so close to these musicians that their lives changed. Some inspired some lyrics, some birthed their children, and every one of them got their artists into a shitload of trouble. And we're going to be featuring. That's the topic for tonight. But leading into the first section of music, now Ray Charles is absolutely no exception to that. He had so many women chasing him, and he was with a lot of women. He was a pioneer of soul music combined with jazz, blues, and gospel styles in the 1950s. He contributed to the integration of country music during the 1960s with his crossover success of his two Modern Sounds of Country albums on ABC Records. But in January of 1961, before those Modern Sounds of Country albums arrived on the scene, Dedicated to You was released. And this recording was a collection of musical love notes to 12 very special women by name. I would have loved, and I mean loved, to have met Hard-Hearted Hannah. What a great tune, and that's what we're opening the next section with. So take a listen, and we'll be back. There you go.
They call her Hard-Hearted Hannah, the vamp of Savannah, the meanest gal in town. Leather is tough, but Hannah's heart is tougher. She's a gal who likes to see men suffer, to tease them and thrill them, to torture and kill them. It's her delight, they say. I saw her at the seashore with a great big pan. There was Hannah pouring water on a drowning man. That's a hard-hearted Hannah, the vamp of Savannah, GA.
Thank you.
call her hard-hearted Hannah, the map of Savannah, the meanest gal in town. Talk about your cold, refrigerated mamas. Brother, she's a polar bear's pajamas. To tease them and thrill them, to torture and kill them, it's her delight, they say. An evening spent with Hannah sitting on your knee is like being in Alaska in your BVDs. That's hard-hearted Hannah, the vamp of Savannah, G.A.
Now, Roland the Roadie was only a toady who set up the lights and the mics for the shows. And Gertrude the Groupie was a rock and roll fan who stood by the stage door in the rains and the snow. All right. Okay.
Roland the Roadie met Gertrude the Groupie at a rock concert back in Bayonne.
Ow!
He tried to seduce her, said he'd introduce her to all of the Beatles and Stones. So Roland the Roadie got Gertrude the Groupie a seat in the balcony above. Oh. And Gertrude the Groupie, the grateful and groovy.
But Roland the Roadie felt numb.
And some folks loves ham hocks, and some folks loves pork chops, and some folks loves vegetable soup. And Roland the Roadie loves Gertrude the Groupie.
But Gertrude the Groupie loves groups.
She stood up and screamed as the amber spot beamed. So skinny and tall, with their eyelids so droopy, and Gertrude the Groupie
knew she was in love with them all. Roland the Roadie told Gertrude the Groupie to wait and he'd be her man. But Bonnie dreamed of a rose coming home.
She was out with the group in the van.
Now Roland the Roadie is back on the road. His heart has been broken again. And Gertrude the Groupie waits out in the cold for the very next group to come in. And some folks loves ham hocks, and some folks loves pork chops, and some folks loves vegetable soup.
Musicians appeal to all of us. Musicians do, and a lot of times the same musician. Because, like, if one is really much better musician, you know, a real excellent musician, you just kind of tend to fall for them. All girls do.
Yeah. what a groupie is. A rock group freak like me, who digs musicians and follows them night after night to wherever their gig is. I get where I want to go any way I can. Thumb trips, a van, or daddy's wheels. All I want is to be free. And all I've got are looks and a few gimmicks, and I usually get a cat. There's a movie that tells it all, like it really is. It's called I Am a Groupie. It's out of sight.
Groupie girl, it does happen.
Is a movie about me. I'm 16 years old. I Am a Groupie is rated R. Anyone under 17 must be accompanied by parent or guardian.
Right.
Now, Sable Starr became one of the very first baby groupies who in the early 1970s frequented the legendary Rainbow Bar and Grill, the Whiskey A Go-Go, and Rodney Bingenheimer's English Disco. But unfortunately for Sable Starr, her storied life would end on April 18th, 2009, after battling brain cancer. And it really kind of sucks because she was just 51 years old. What a tragic ending. Now, her story describes the life of being with the ultimate rock icons of her day. Now, I know that she was with Iggy Pop, and I know she was with Johnny Thunders and probably many, many others. But on a lighter note, Dr. Hook and the Medicine Show were formed in Union City, New Jersey. I've always loved them, and they've enjoyed considerable commercial success in the 1970s. And the band had a knack for humorous spins on many topics, including their second single, the cover of Rolling Stone off of their 1972 Sloppy Seconds album. Well, in 1973, the band released their third studio album, Belly Up, and the tune, Rollin' the Roadie and Gertrude the Groupie, is yet another humorous take on the rock and roll lifestyle on the road. Well, Silverhead were formed by singer, songwriter, actor Michael DeBars, and they were signed by Deep Purple's label, Purple Records, and recorded two studio albums, a self-titled album in 1972 and 16 and Savage in 1973. You know, the band were a really big part of the glam rock music scene of the 1970s. And Rock Out Claudette, Rock Out, off of their sophomoric release, seems to be an experience that's unforgettable by Michael DeBars and the other members of Silverhead. What a great tune. I tell you, I love Silverhead. I just wish they got more attention in their day. They could have been a legendary band. And then Michael DeBars joined a band called Detective later on in the 70s. And we've played both those bands on the show an awful lot. I'm a big fan. But moving on, Hydra were formed by Spencer Kirkpatrick on guitar, Wayne Bruce on lead vocals and guitar, and Steve Pace on drums. The band signed with Capricorn Records in 1973 and released their self-titled album Hydra in 1974. And then in 1975, Land of Money followed. Well, also in 1977, as a three-piece band with Wayne Bruce now on bass, Hydra released Rock the World. It is one of my favorite, and by the end of that year, unfortunately, that band broke up. There's a band that should have gotten way more attention. They were a great southern rock band. And you know what? The song Glitter Queen off of their 1974 debut is a perfect addition to tonight's episode. Another band that I think never got enough attention was Tucky Buzzard, and they were formed in 1969, and the original lineup included Jimi Henderson vocals, Terry Taylor guitar, David Brown bass, Paul Francis drums, and Nick Graham on keyboards. But halfway through recording their debut album, Paul Francis, the drummer, departed from the band and was replaced by Chris Johnson, who recorded the remaining drum parts and was credited on the album sleeve. Now, Tucky Buzzard produced a total of five albums between 1969 until 1973, and the band was famous for being produced by bassist Bill Wyman of the Rolling Stones. Now, All Right on the Night was their fourth and final studio album, and it was released in October of 1973, and Fast Bluesy Woman is one of my favorites off of that album. Here's another band that should have gotten more attention in their day. And being that they were produced by Bill Wyman, forget about it. That should have been the in for them. Well, leading into the next section of music, Dick Wagner, guitarist, songwriter, and author, was best known for his work with Alice Cooper, Lou Reed, and Kiss. Well, in 1972, Dick Wagner moved right here to New York City and formed another one of my favorites, Ursa Major. Now, the original lineup included Billy Joel on keyboards. Get that. And Rick Mangone on drums. Well, after Billy Joel left the group, Dick Wagner replaced him with former Amboy Dukes bassist Greg Arma. Now, they released one seminal, acclaimed, self-titled album as a power trio, and the band toured nationally with Jeff Beck and then with Alice Cooper. The tune, Stage Door Queen, is a perfect lead-in into the next section of music. So take a listen, and we'll be back. There you go.
Must I send you a gold invitation?
Thank you. Bye. went from the Beatles, I went to the Stones, and there was no word groupie. And so I was a fan, but I needed more. I needed to experience these people firsthand. It didn't work for me to sit in an audience and just go yay and freak out. I had to get close to it. Everything started with Elvis. He was this young kid from the South who changed the world. And since him, and he was the first rock star, as it went on and on and on, and these huge acts, why wouldn't someone want to be a rock star? They get the adulation from the world. Everybody wants to either fuck them or be them. And why? Because they have it all. They're up on stage with thousands and thousands of people loving them. It's really just all about love. How much love you can get. And rock stars get more love than anyone. Any actor, all these actors, Johnny Depp, Kevin Bacon, whoever, they all want to be a rock star too.
But she was standing by my dressing room after the show, asked me for my autograph and asked if she could go back to my motel room. But the rest is just a tragic tale, because 5 short minutes of love don't brought me 20 long years in jail. Well, like a fool in a hurry, I took her to my room. She casted me in plaster while I sang her a tune.
Thank you. said your name is Barbara. How come they call you but a queen? Well, you've been greasing the pole and you can sure rock and roll, you're all right. Tell me, what do you say when you're doing your thing, you're all right? Well, if your name is Barbara, how come they call you but a queen? I said your name is Barbara. How come
slept with Sable when she was 13. Her parents were too rich to do anything. She rocked away around L.A. till a New York doll carried her away. Look away.
Look away.